Good morning. Welcome. A couple announcements this morning. The Sylvan Lake Community Dinner is looking for volunteers. They're needed on the 22nd for food prep at 6:30 and the 23rd for pretty well all day for decorating and then cleanup and cooking and all that. So if you are interested in that, you can talk to Sonia. I'll put her on her. Following the service today, we'll have communion, and during the last hymn, Matthew and Hudson will do a collection. Chase will be reading the psalm, and to start us off, we'll have Caleb do the third candle reading. Any other announcements? Okay, well, let's start.
The candle of hope and peace were lit on the first two Sundays of Advent. The third candle is the candle of joy. The shepherds received a message of joy. Luke 2:7-15 says, "And she brought forth her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning the child."
Psalm this morning is Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and sea, and all that is therein, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this Advent season with joy, with hope, with a babe in manger, with salvation, with your presence within us, with a joy that is unspeakable, with fear and with awe. For Father, we want to glorify you in spirit and in truth this day, this hour. And we need your help to do that. We ask that you would help those that are ailing. There's a little girl out there that has cancer that needs your help. We ask for healing for her. There's a father of that little girl that needs encouragement, needs strength, needs to be able to understand, needs to be able to support. And without you, it is impossible to even take a step forward. So we ask for that help this morning. For those ones who cannot attend because of illness or maybe because of circumstance or maybe it's because they don't want to, Father, we ask that you would just be with them, give them strength, and also we ask that you would encourage them to come and be part of the body of Christ, the bride, the ones that are saints because of your imputed righteousness. We ask that you would give them that desire through that Spirit. Father, we thank you for this congregation here in Sylvan Lake. We thank you for the members. We thank you for their gifts. And at this time of year, we ask that you would give them an extra strength to perform the ministries that you have set individually for them and in their hearts. Because this time of year can be very busy. And we ask that you would just give them an extra measure of energy so that they can perform to your will. We ask that you would bless the children and the parents. Give us the ability to teach and to observe. And at the same time, give us the ability to stress what's important in this season, in this Advent season. How important it is that we recognize the birth of Christ in our hearts. How we recognize the importance of what he did for us. Give us that this morning and throughout this season. Father, we thank you for your text this morning, and we ask that you would open it. Open it in a way that it will produce fruit, and in a way that we can justly discern it. Because we need that inspiration, that Holy Spirit, to even be present here. And at the same time, Father, we have a fear, a reverent fear that we don't want to make a mistake. So we ask that you would take that fear away, because it is your Spirit that is in the Word, and that living Word does bring forth fruit, and it does not return void. We ask for that today. Father, we thank you for that perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love, be with you always to the ends of the earth. The point of this text in Ephesians, and we'll read from chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. The main point is, in this text for me, is this season of Advent, we really do need the whole armor of God this time of year. Not only this time, but all times of year, but especially this time, considering the busyness of what we are doing and have been doing over the past few weeks, just preparing for Christmas Day. And our lives seem to be busier and busier. So this armor will just give us the ability to discern when Satan is infecting or affecting what triggers us emotionally in a negative way. So we'll read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. In Jesus' holy name. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So this time of year, if somebody can grab me a glass of water, that would help. Sorry, I forgot to bring one up today, so that would be great. This time of year, and probably Easter time, we have the enemies of the cross, which is the world, the devil, and our flesh. So what happens this time of year, and probably at Easter time, is there's lots of preparation of things that are happening. We want to make sure that the house is clean, and we have company coming, or we have gifts to buy, or we have things to do, and we have maybe a choir to go to, or we have an event. Maybe we're helping out in the community at a supper, or whatever it is. It is busy. And what that tends to bring is Satan out of his cage, so that the body of Christ are maybe a little bit more impatient and less gracious. So this whole armor of God, what that does is it gives us the ability, thank you, it gives us the ability to discern within ourselves the battle within. Why am I angry? Why am I upset? Why am I impatient? Why am I, why is this bothering me right at this moment? Whatever conversation you're having. And the armor of God can see that, discern that thought, and extinguish it before it becomes verbalized. So the whole armor of God is quite important. Jesus Christ is spoken about all the time. You hear hymns, you hear music, you hear everybody talking about the baby in a manger, the Christ child. This season represents Christ's birth on earth. And it also represents mainly, when did Jesus Christ, when did it happen for you that he was born in your heart? When did the light in your heart get lit up? When were you regenerated? So this whole thing is happening, and Satan knows that Jesus Christ's word does not return void. He knows that. So he's going to, in many ways, try to bring the ones that are in Christ in a divisive way to be against each other. So that this is important that we know what the battle lines are, we know where the battle is, and how Satan triggers you to lash out this time of year especially, and more likely to the ones that you really, really love. So you're a lot more impatient, you're a lot more edgy, you're a lot more, there's lots going on. So we really need the whole armor of God. If we read in the text, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is not with people of the flesh. Our battle isn't with the people in the world. Our battle is internal and in how we present ourselves as ambassadors for Christ and as the hands and feet of Jesus. That's how we present ourselves. So I'll give an example this time of year where there's warfare. It's the father and son. It might be as simple as this. Maybe somebody says that we got to get these chores done. Like normal situation, normal time of year, you might have a certain time to do the chores. There's not anything rushing you. This time of year there is. We got to get the chores done quicker, son, because we have this to go to. And the son says, "Oh man, this is frustrating." And then there's a battle between the father and son in that situation. And maybe words are spoken in a way that is not edifying to Christ. It might be a mother-daughter. It might be the example of, we've got to make sure the house is clean. We've got to make sure that everything's spotless. We've got family coming. We've got like a lot of things happening in the next while. So, and the daughter might say, "Well, but Mom, I want to just do this." These type of battles is what we war not against flesh and blood. This is the battle. God plants the seed of either impatientness, or it's either laziness or whatever it is. I don't feel like doing that today. I don't feel like going to the choir. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. We've got to recognize ahead of time, before that thought comes to our brain, once it gets there, is that a thought of God? Is that God speaking to me? Or is that the enemy presenting a thought so that it can divide within the body? And I think that's where our warfare is. You might be grandparents. Who are we going to visit? We got to schedule this out. We're going to go visit Sharon on this day, John on this day, Susie on this day. Like, who gets priority? Well, I don't really get along with Sharon's husband, so they get less priority. But that's where God is saying, maybe you need to spend more time there, right? So this is where we see that this warfare coming, and the battle lines coming within. And we realize that Christmas isn't about you or your presence. It's about Jesus Christ and the gift of faith, the birth of Him inside you. Now's the time to serve and be served. So when we read verses in Ephesians, it will say, "Wherefore," the 13th verse, "take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So this is the whole armor, the helmet, the breastplate, your feet prepared for to evangelize the gospel or minister the gospel, your girds, loins, everything. So what does this look like? If I could look at somebody and say, okay, that person has the whole armor of God on, what does this look like? Because that's what we need. So if we turn to 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 6, 1 to 10. And believe me, the most beautiful thing when I'm a congregant sitting in the audience is hearing this. That's the most beautiful thing. It's more beautiful than any hymn, is hearing this, by the way. I'm encouraging you to turn there. So chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verses 1 to 10. And believe me, we'll be doing a lot of turning. "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil rapport and good rapport, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and, behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing." This is the time of rejoicing. "As poor, yet making many rich." Why do we make many rich? Because we have Him. We have Him in our hearts. "And having nothing, but yet possessing all things." It's by grace, through faith, in the power of Christ. We have that. And these things, when you look at them, that is the Christian with the whole armor of God on them. That is what they look like. Do we have that? What does verse 14 mean? After 1 Thessalonians 5:5-10. If we read verse 14 of Ephesians 6, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:5-10. if I can find it. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. So we're the children of the day, not of the night. In Isaiah chapter 11. Verses 1 to 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. I'm going to read that again. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. This is talking about Christ. This is talking about the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Judge, not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears, of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity, shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. It doesn't matter who you hang around with. When you have Christ, judgment isn't your job, and it's not my job. You should be able to hang out with the kid, the lamb. You should be able to be with the leopard. You should be with your enemies, and it should not offend you. It should not bother you because you have Christ. Now, if they're doing something that is harmful, obviously we say something, but we're not to judge with the seeing of the eyes and the hearing of the ears. This time of year, we're just to embrace and offer grace. Grace is to favor that human being, not favor the sin that's in them, favor the human being, because they are created in the image of God. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice then. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters of the sea. So we have to have the knowledge of the Lord. We have to understand that. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. What are we resting in? We rest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What he did for us. What he is doing for us, and when he comes again and makes us like him. and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that look like? The good news. Isaiah chapter 52. It's just one verse this time. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's you and me. We're ministers of the cross. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings. Notice it says good tidings. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 4. And this is the gospel, by the way. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Your sins were imputed in his flesh on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. He died there with your sins. He left them there. You were imputed 33 perfect years of Jesus Christ. Your sins were imputed unto him. His righteousness was imputed into you. That's the gospel. Verses 16 to 18. Verses 16, it says here in Ephesians. She'll read till 18. Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance the supplications for all saints. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The shield of the armor. So what is it saying here? Every word of God is pure. It's perfect. It's pure. Every word of God is pure and is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Their faith in him. You're putting your faith in Christ. You're trusting in him. The shield is that. And when it says it will quench all the darts of the devil, it doesn't say some of them. It doesn't say 4 out of 5. It says all. So when you have the whole armor of God on, it does quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Isaiah chapter 59. verses 15 to 17. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and it was clad with zeal as a cloak. The vengeance of God, saith the Lord. We don't have to take vengeance. God's going to take care of that. We don't have to judge. God's going to take care of that. We have a responsibility to offer grace and love to everyone. Sword of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 to 5. Fourth, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I want to read in Genesis something that we read on Friday. I can find it. Chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why he destroyed the earth. Every imagination. So when it says in this text, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ, taking every word in Scripture and capturing it. What does this mean? Taking it captive. The warfare is like this. My wife asks me to go to the choir. Okay, at the end of the day, do I want to do that? Probably not. But she wants to go there. So I can say, well, yeah, let's go. Or I can say, yeah, why not? Let's do that. Right? So it's in the attitude. Yeah, Dad, I can do those chores. Yeah, let's get them done so we can help Mom at home. Right? So there's this is where the warfare is within the body. And when we look at it, it's a warfare that we have to recognize. It comes quick, but we tend to lash out. We tend to say, we answer the question right away instead of standing back and saying, okay, my enemy, Satan, is giving me a thought here. Is it going to edify me by expressing this thought? Is it going to glorify God by expressing this thought? Is it going to do damage within the body of Christ? If the answer is yes, it's going to do damage in the body of Christ. Think about what you're going to say. And ask God to give you an answer within quickly so that you can say it in a way that produces fruit. Hebrews 4:12. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Oh, no, that's not it. Let no man despise thy youth. That's chapter 4. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no man despise thy youth. It's talking to the youth here, and it's despise thy youth, and it's also saying in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's all there. How we represent Christ in the world. And we'll finish the text with verses 16 to, or 18 to 20. And I'll read the 18th again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How do we speak boldly? We have to know what we're saying. We have to understand what we're saying is truth. We have to believe what we're saying. And we have to compare it to Scripture if it's right. And it says here, and Steve spoke of this last week of prayer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Steve spoke on how Christ hears our prayers. The question is, he does hear our prayers, but the next question for me is, do we pray? And do we pray rightly? Do we pray for the saints? Do we pray for the people that don't have Christ? Do we pray without ceasing, looking to him for every direction during the day? Is this what I should be doing? Not question. I'm not saying if you have something figured out and how to fix something, if you ask God, is this the right? You're not questioning what you've already learned through experience. But if there's a decision that you're not sure of, there's a decision that you're not totally confident in, that's when you need to ask God for help. I'm not so sure about this one. Can you help me with this? And he will. He will help. And do we have a prayer list? I know it seems methodical, but if I don't have something written down who to pray for, I'm going to forget. So do we have that? I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying for me, it definitely helps. If I have a prayer list of who to pray for, the list never seems to end. You start maybe with a page, and then a year later, it's 5 pages, and then 10 years later, you have 50 pages by the time you get back to that. Or it's a prayer on the heart. God puts a person in your mind that you haven't talked about or haven't heard for years, and then he puts this, Joe. Oh, I have Joe. God wants you to pray for Joe, right? There's thoughts like that. But the power of prayer is in the sword of the Spirit, really, it discerns the intents of the heart. It cuts so that you can say something that makes impact, that hits the mark. And that cutting is not to do harm to the other person. It's to make them realize that there is a right way and a wrong way. And the cutting is for your own heart. So the discerning of the intents of the heart is, how do I speak to my children? How do I speak to my parents? How do I speak to my wife? What's proper? And whenever it's how, and if the question comes, oh, I didn't handle that right, you're right, you didn't, because the influence of Satan through that. But the discernment, the intents, the word can make you understand and correct it before you say it. It discerns your heart. That's not what I should be saying. When your wife asks you, how do I look in this dress? You can be honest. I like this part of it, or it looks fantastic. You don't have to lie. If it looks terrible on her, don't say it looks great, right? But there's, you look for the positive side of it, and then you look and say, okay, how do I say it so that it's, number one, going to edify and glorify God? Number two, it's going to hit the mark. And that's what the Word of God does. It discerns what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And do we understand it from afar off? Why do we stand and fight? Why do we stand and fight? Well, for one reason, Jesus asked us to be with him. We're soldiers of the cross. We're soldiers of the cross. I think this is one of Gail's favorite chapters, from what I remember. I'm just going to read it because I think this is why we fight. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. That's you and me, by the way. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of many people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's why we fight. That's why we need the armor of God. We're the seed of Adam. We're the seed of Eve. Every one of us is the seed of Eve. And the curse said, I will bring enmity of her seed and your seed. We will hate the devil. We will hate our flesh and we'll hate the world. We're the enemies of that. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So when we have the whole armor of God, we are able to fight with our brother and encourage those to come into the sheepfold and fight with us. It is a warfare, but the biggest battle is within. But when we have the whole armor of God, he is defeated. And when we don't have the whole armor of God, we are defeated before we start. So it is very important this time of year. We'll continue with him, the first Noel, and Steve will administer communion in the benediction. And then the final hymn is 40 in doxology.
Thank you. It is a blessing to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper in the Christmas and Advent season, because it really represents the first Noel. It represents the changing of the covenant, the testament, from the Old Testament, which brought about salvation by faith through obedience to the law and various other things and the festivals and the sacrifices. But now it all changed when it becomes by faith, believing in the one who has died for sin. That is the New Testament. That's the new covenant. That is the covenant of Christ. And that is who we celebrate today as we partake of communion. Shall we begin with the Apostles' Creed, which is just a simple statement of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray with and for those who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of everlasting life. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. As usual, if you come down the middle and then exit back to your seats, and we'll all partake of the body and blood of Christ together. Take and eat the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take and drink the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. May the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen your souls unto everlasting life. Praise the Lord for this gracious gift of which you have partaken, and go forth and proclaim his suffering, his death, and his glorious resurrection until he comes again. Let us give thanks and pray. We thank thee, O Lord Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that thou, thy mercy, would strengthen us through this communion in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we'll conclude with hymn number 40, followed by the doxology, Grace for the Meal.